Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. I'm Amy Mayer. Kicking things off, the Monterey Peninsula Buddhist Temple is hosting its 77th annual Obon Festival this weekend. Katie Brown reports.
Japanese Obon festivals are held around the world every summer to honor deceased ancestors. David Ward has helped organize the event here for over a decade and is the festival's chair this year.
You can come and enjoy the demonstrations and the displays and not spend any money.
Attendance is free and food is affordable.
Almost all of our food items are $10 or less.
There will be a traditional Japanese tea ceremony, karate demonstration, taiko drumming performance, and displays of bonsai and ikebana, the Japanese art of flower arranging.
Part of Obon is the dancing, the bondori.
Ward says performers and participants dance to traditional and contemporary songs, even Lady Gaga. The festival is their biggest event of the year.
Our doors are open for anyone to visit, whether it is Obon or throughout the year.
The event starts at noon on Sunday at the temple in Seaside.
That was Katie Brown. And Monterey County's annual crop report is out. It shows agriculture remains strong in 2025. Our intern Jillian Smith has more.
Monterey County Agricultural Commissioner Juan Hidalgo says strawberries had an especially good year.
Strawberries hold the number one spot again this year, surpassing $1 billion in gross production value with a 3% increase compared to 2024.
And that's despite a 3% decrease for the total value of county agriculture. Jody Rainman with California Strawberry Commission says the county grows 90% of the nation's strawberries.
In Monterey County, it's nice to see that strawberries are again at the top of the list because of the economic impact that it provides to this county and counties across California.
The report also highlights growth in the leaf lettuce sector and emphasizes Monterey County's leading position in agriculture nationally.
That was Jillian Smith. A local Tibetan leader is responding to the death of a human rights activist outside the United Nations last week. Here's Katie Brown again.
Kempo Kartin has lived on the Monterey Peninsula for 15 years and is a leader at the Manjushri Dharma Center in Pacific Grove. He met Tibetan freedom activist Logo Rancine, who died Thursday a couple years ago.
He's always a very happy person. He likes to joke.
He said Rancine was known for bringing awareness to Tibetan independence and called friends around the world before setting himself on fire following news of China's new ethnic unity law.
He sacrificed, he burned his body. Very sad.
The law would further repress Tibetan culture, language, and religion through forced assimilation. China has occupied Tibet since the 1950s.
So many years, almost 80 years now.
Kartin says Loga's message was clear.
He said, please help the Tibetan people. Support the Tibetan people.
According to the International Campaign for Tibet, over 150 Tibetans have self-immolated in Tibet and China since 2009 in acts of protest.
That was Katie Brown. And now for some Santa Cruz County updates. The Santa Cruz County Regional Transportation Commission is currently removing all county emergency call boxes. Erin Malsbury has that one.
RTC spokesperson Shannon Munn says the 65 call boxes were no longer cost-effective for the county since more people are relying on cell phones.
The RTC spends approximately $60,000 to $70,000 a year on maintaining these call boxes, and in 2025, there were only 38 service calls.
The county decommissioned the phones within the last few months and is now removing them. Munn says other counties like Riverside, San Bernardino, and Ventura have made similar moves. She adds that even in areas of the county with spotty cell service, the number of calls was minor. There's no plan to replace them.
That was Erin Malsbury. Much anticipated housing in Santa Cruz for people currently unsheltered or precariously housed is opening. Live Oak Landing is a converted hotel, and its renovations are the result of the city and county coming together with the nonprofit Housing Matters. They pooled their funds with state money. Housing Matters CEO Philip Kramer says the old building contained some surprises that extended the project's timeline.
It wasn't until we started kind of peeling back the layers and doing some of the remodeling did we discover kind of the extent of some of the repairs that we'd need to make.
For example, he says they found some dry rot and had to replace a water heater, then waited on final permits before opening this week. Kramer says he expects residents will spend about 6 months at Live Oak Landing before securing permanent housing. Western snowy plovers are tiny, shy shorebirds that are slowly making a recovery along the West Coast. Erin Malsbury has more.
That's the sound of a snowy plover chick chirping from inside an egg. The chicks tap at the eggs just before hatching. Coastal ecologist Stephanie Coates recorded these sounds as she was monitoring nests at the Salinas River National Wildlife Refuge. Each year in late spring, scientists and volunteers try to count every plover on the West Coast.
It's a rough estimate, but it's the best we can do, so.
The annual count started more than 20 years ago. Coates has participated for the last five as a researcher with the nonprofit Point Blue Conservation Science. Researchers put little plastic bands around the plover's ankles right after they hatch to identify them. Coates often calls them by their band color combo, or what the combo spells.
There's a Barb down at Monterey State Beach. There's a Rory that I saw last week at CMAX area. Red, orange, red, yellow.
She's gotten to know the personalities of some of the tiny shorebirds. As we walk along the beach, she points out one with a reputation as a bad dad.
None of his chicks have made it that I know of, so.
In plovers, males raise the chicks, usually three at a time. Coates keeps track of all the nests in the area and when they'll hatch. Plovers nest in sandy dune habitats, which are threatened by development and sea level rise. Biologists call this narrowing of habitat coastal squeeze. Western snowy plovers were listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 1993 from habitat loss and human disturbance. Andrea Jones is the vice president of Audubon, California. She says the annual count is vital.
And those results every year help inform conservation efforts on the ground. A lot of restoration projects are happening along our coastline, and it really gives the opportunity through that data to focus conservation dollars.
She adds there's also a winter count in California. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service collects the results and recently announced a conservation milestone. Over 3,000 birds were counted last year. The population needs to stay there or grow for at least 10 years in order for snowy plovers to come off the threatened list. Point Blue principal ecologist Chris Newman leads the count in the Monterey Bay area. She says the best thing people can do to help plovers is to leave them alone.
There's pretty good evidence that, you know, snowy plovers are sensitive to human use of beaches. So not just others of development here, but recreation, you know.
She says COVID beach closures drove that point home. The plovers started nesting in new places.
An example from here in Monterey Bay is at Sunset State Beach. They were way out, like next to where the lifeguard towers would be placed.
But usually they stay out of sight. Newman says one of the other challenges people pose for the tiny birds is introducing non-native grasses that hold dunes in place.
Pacific Coast dunes are not meant to be stabilized. They're really dynamic.
The steep slopes the invasive grasses create can block the plover's view of predators like ravens. At the refuge, Stephanie Coates now points to a bird pretending to be injured to try to distract us from a nest.
That's a lure display. See how the tail is spread out? She's hiding, flattening herself on the ground.
Coates has a permit to approach the nest. One at a time, she places each egg into a cup of water to see how it floats and estimate age.
As the chick develops in the egg, that air bubble forms and gets larger, so the egg will start to tilt upward. Wide end upward, and then break the surface of the water eventually.
That's when Coates knows the tapping and hatching is coming soon. It's the 76th nest in that area this year. Scientists are cautiously optimistic for the plovers. They say the little birds are remarkably resilient and help illustrate that even beaches that look deserted are full of life.
You can see Erin's photos of the little plovers at kazu.org. That wraps up Monterey Bay this week. This episode was produced by me, Amy Mayer, KAZU's news director. It was reported by me, Katie Brown, Jillian Smith, and Erin Malsbury. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more local news. Have a great weekend.